Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Panther Ranch Studios, which is in my car. Yeah, I'm doing that again. I'll stop. All right, no more of that. I know it's getting old. But anyways, welcome back to another Panther Ranch podcast. Will Harris. I'm sorry. I'm getting my thing wrong. Or my identity wrong. Alright. It's Tuesday. I'd like to thank you all for who viewed yesterday's podcast. Although I do these every other day. At least try to do 2 a week or whatever. But sometimes things come up and you just feel like talking. And, first of all, Pit Hoops has Mount St. Mary's tonight. So we'll see what happens there. Pitt's 4-4. They've won their last 3 games. You know, which is not much, which is kind of braggable that they won 3 in a row. I mean, yeah, they're cupcakes. They won, but at the end of the day, it's with this team and how young they are, it's good that they won 3 in a row because it gives them some confidence. And hopefully if they get 4 in a row, they'll be 5-4. They'll have some confidence going to West Virginia. So you want that. You want these guys to be confident. I mean, they're obviously not going to make the tournament, but hey, they'll win some games to sneak up on some teams. You never know. As long as they continue to get better. And of course, other teams will get better as well, unfortunately. We have that problem. But on the football side, we had some departures. Quadri Henderson is going to the draft, which, you know, I'm kind of a little eerie about. I just don't agree with it, but I kind of figured he was on his way out the door because, you know, well, there was one tweet before the season began about him wanting to go pro and move his family out of, you know, their neighborhood. But after the Miami game, he made a tweet about being a prop Pitt man. No, and just the way he worded the tweet, kind of referred to Pitt in the past tense, or at least his college football career in the past tense. So it was kind of cryptic in a way where you kind of knew that something was going on, that he was, you know, on his way out the door. But I don't really agree with what he's doing. I think he should stick another year and try to hone his skills as a wide receiver, because he really didn't, you know, we were all hoping he would have taken off this year as a wide receiver, but he just didn't. And part of it's on him. The other part of it is on who was throwing him the football. You know, Pitt had a really unstable quarterback situation. First, to start with Max Brown. Brown was horrible. But then he had a great game against Rice, and it seemed like he was picking things up against Syracuse until he got injured. And that was that with him. But then we were hell bent on Ben DiNucci playing, and initially in the beginning I liked DiNucci. I thought he was doing well, and he was putting points on the board for Pitt and moving the ball. But unfortunately, we all saw really who he was. I mean, he just is what he is. happens. He's just limited. But, you know, we finally have a quarterback in Kenny Pickett. And I just think if Henderson would stay. Because Jester, you know, Jester Wee's gone. Henderson would be that senior leader. And he would probably get the ball more. He would get a lot more touches. Because a lot of the touches he got were on plays designed for him, which was those wildcat plays. But, obviously he's going, you know, in terms of a kick returner, punt returner. And, you know, Larod Stevens, you know, did kick off some punt returns as well. And until he got hurt, he was making a nice little, you know, a nice little career out of it. He got injured. He was never the same. That was that. He was done. So I'm not sure how long Quadri Henderson's going to have. If he goes, you know, if he even gets in the pros. Because he's going to be playing against guys who are bigger and faster than him. A lot more stronger. So he's just going to have to get, you know, bigger as well. So, and there's a really, really good chance he doesn't even get drafted at all. Maybe he gets picked up as a free agent and then gets, you know, a tryout. But I just, you know, like I said, currently with his where he's at right now, I just don't agree with it. And we move on to that, you know, move on to the next topic. Shontez Moss dismissed from the team. Gone. Basically, he played this year, and there was a lot of potential here because we didn't have, you know, anyone settled at running back. So he was getting his reps, but he got suspended twice this year. And I guess obviously he had a falling out with Pat Narduzzi because Narduzzi was calling him selfish and all kind of other stuff. Because I guess when Moss came back in the lap, he was expecting to be back on his spot in the depth chart, which is not going to happen, especially when Darren Hall took off the way he did. So he was got this, you know, Moss pretty much was going to sit his butt down. But here's the thing. If you've been suspended twice this year, your coach is going to be really, really pissed off at you. Really pissed off. I mean, because with that, being the head coach or a manager or whatever in life, whatever, you know, thing of, you know, leadership, you've got a lot of other worries that are out there that are much bigger. And worrying about whether somebody can, you know, an athlete get their act together, whether it's grades, a piss test, or whatever. You would like that to be the least of your worries and the least of your headaches. So I'm not really sure what Moss did to get suspended. But I guess it sounds like it was a drug test. But if you do it twice, your coach isn't going to be happy with you. And you're going to do a whole hell of a lot to get on his good side again. A lot. And obviously, it wasn't going to click for Moss, and that's why Pat told him that he needed to go move on with life's work, go to another school. And he will. I mean, he's a talent. It wasn't like he was a crappy player. He was good. He had a lot of potential. It's just there's too much other stuff that outweighed keeping him here. You know, where, you know, where your troubles exceed your talents. Yeah, that's pretty much what happened there. So it's unfortunate, but his time of pimp may have ended, but his journey moves on. So he can go to another school and catch on somewhere, get some playing time, get reps. So it's not over for him yet. But you factor this in and all the other players, the player punishments that were handed down early in the football season where, White had missed a bunch of games. And I can see this probably is getting on Pat Narduzzi's nerves as well. What do you got to keep dealing with this? It's annoying. It's annoying, and plus it's disruptive as well. Because you're trying to get your depth chart down pat, your players down pat, working together, and the players you need are getting suspended, they're missing games, they're not keeping their head straight. And speaking of the player departures, I'm not sure if Jordan Whitehead even goes pro this year. I would have thought he would have, but I think the suspension, obviously it sucks. Could be a blessing in disguise for Pitt. Because he was good, but was he pro? He'll get drafted, but is the top three rounds? Was his talent top three rounds talent? Who knows? I seriously doubt it. Oh, excuse me. So, obviously, I got some more other topics. Well, on a side note, I did watch a Steeler game last night. It was funny because I followed the first half on Twitter, and obviously, Shazer went down, and he's doing better. Obviously, when I looked at how he got hurt, it reminded me a lot with Tommy Maddox, how he got hurt. And I figured that you hope that it was the same conclusion as Max, that he would get up and walk again. Because I think we all worry about Max as well when it happened to him. One thing that I see is it always reminds me of Adam Talaferro when I see his players go down like this, because that was one of the first instances I've seen it. Where I think it was more in our backyard. Not so much where it was a Pennsylvania football, college football team in PA. I guess you can say in this sense. Because there are other players that have gone paralyzed in the pros. Before. Obviously, Mike Gutley was one of them. Dennis Byrd's one of them. I think Dennis Byrd ran to his own player. They were sacking the quarterback, and that's how that happened. And you got Eric LeGrand from Rutgers. And I believe he was doing a special teams thing. I think Talaferro wasn't doing special teams. I think he was playing. It was garbage. It was garbage time against Ohio State. And Ohio State pretty much had a game when it was a blowout. And I think what angered some Penn State fans at that time when an injury happened was that John Cooper was still throwing the football up until Talaferro got hurt. I mean, I'm not sure if that would have avoided the injury. We don't know. But Talaferro got, he walked again, and he went to law, and he's obviously doing pretty well for himself. So, football, obviously you want to go, everyone's dream is to play pro football, but not everybody's going to do it. And for some that are pros, they probably meant for more better things in life, and they just don't know it yet. And they eventually will figure it out. Because, a lot of these players probably got a lot, pretty much all of them got other talents outside of football, and they just got to realize them. And you can pretty much say that for a professional athlete. But one thing I found comical was how I followed Twitter, and people were saying, this game's over, stop it, it's done. I flip it on. Steelers just scored at 17-10 with 8 minutes left in the third quarter. 8 minutes left in the third. And the Steelers were down only 7 points. And what really got me was the Bengals had a meltdown, obviously, and the Steelers came back and won it by a field goal. They gave Andy Dalton all that money, and they're stuck with him pretty much for a few more years. I mean, Andy Dalton pretty much is what he is, and I think they were expecting more out of him. He was going to keep getting better and better, but he just really hasn't. I mean, that's what you see with Andy Dalton is what you get. So they have a few more years with him, and I'm sure, I mean, personally, I think teams like Cincinnati will be looking to draft a quarterback eventually. I mean, Andy Dalton's very good. He's very good when he has good players around him. And you got a lot of quarterbacks that are like that, especially pro quarterbacks, that they're really good as long as they have really good players around them. I mean, can they, you know, if it's a case for it to put the team on his back and win a game, not sure. And of course, our final topic for today, the Heisman. The top three were selected, and Lamar Jackson kind of baffles me because Louisville wasn't that great this year, and you know, Lamar Jackson, you know, although he won the Heisman last year, he kind of had a slot against, you know, against ranked opponents. Obviously, it's there because of his numbers, but obviously, Deshaun Watson should win the Heisman last year. The Heisman's something they don't get right a lot of times, and it happens. I mean, look at Larry Fitzgerald. Regardless of the Pitt's record that year, he was the best player in college football, and some people just didn't get that. Especially local media, they still try to rationalize it to this day. Fuck off. Excuse my language. So it kind of annoyed the hell out of me when I saw that Ray Fittipato has Saquon Barkley as number one. Of course. I'm not sure if Ray had a vote in 2003. I know Ron Cook did. Ron wrote his article about how he did this. I think it was Smizik and Cook that had votes. And they both, like jackasses, take Jason White. But I bet if they do have votes this year, they probably damn well would have voted Saquon Barkley, because that's how they are. They just love throwing shade at Pitt. But Saquon didn't make the top three, and it was obvious. His numbers just weren't good this year. They were good, but they weren't great, great numbers. They weren't Heisman numbers. And he padded his stats against really crappy teams. And even some bad teams, he had bad games. But there were some games where he played really well. And for some reason, Joe Moorhead was so hell-bent on letting Trace McSorley do everything when he could just give the ball to Barkley. But then teams caught on to what Penn State was doing offensively. And Ohio State obviously set the blueprint. Because the way Penn State was on their offense is when they were handing the ball off to Barkley, he was pretty much standing still. And by the time he got the ball, he had defenders in his face. And the guy's not really Barry Sanders. He's got moves, but he doesn't have Barry Sanders moves. So, of course, he was getting blown up on those plays. If you probably put Barkley in a pro-style offense like Pitt's, his numbers would have been a whole hell of a lot better. Than what they were at Penn State's this year. In a lot of ways, you can say his coach, Moorhead, let him down. But he was a really good player, you know, in college. He was really, I mean, he probably one of the best college players this year. I mean, I thought he was the best, you know, still think he's the best this year in college football, despite what his numbers say. His numbers just aren't everything. If you can see what he can do. So, he's going to have a good pro career. I mean, LeSean McCoy didn't win the Heisman either. And he was a really good running back. And, you know, he got drafted, I think, second round by the Eagles. And he's and right now, McCoy is zeroing in on 10,000 yards. That's how old the lot of us are getting now. McCoy's been, you know, been the pros now 8 years, and he's about to 8 or 9 years, and he's about to eclipse 10,000 yards. So I mean, that's how old we are. Larry Fitzgerald has 1,200 receptions. That's how old we are. But you know, the Heisman's something that they don't get right a lot of times, if not most of the time. So. He could have at least got an invite to New York, though. I mean, maybe he still will, but... I mean, of course, Aaron Donald should have got an invite, too. When he was a... he was one of those trophies for the... You know, at least got Heisman, some Heisman consideration. But, of course, Pitt being 6-6 that year didn't help much either. But he took home a boatload of trophies. And if it wasn't... I mean, I think one thing you have to credit is the fact that... at the time when he won all these trophies, Pitt was in their first or second year in the ACC. I think first year, I think. And if it was, and I think if it wasn't for the conference affiliation, Aaron Donald probably takes none of those trophies home. If Pitt was in the old Big East, they would have. I don't think he takes any home anything, to be honest. But one thing I didn't bring up to you guys, and which I will now, is that and I'll do it because I have some time. Because, you know, I'm not in the parking garage yet. What if the Big East stayed intact? And what if TCU was in the Big East? Could you imagine that? I'm gonna give you two angles. One, the football. Obviously, TC would have rolled in football for the most part. They've done very well in the Big 12 since they've got there. And then, obviously, you know, they put so much work into their athletics. And there's, you know, obviously, football was a big one, and it's got them to where they are. But what happens to the basketball program? Is Jamie Dixon coaching at TCU when they're in the Big East? I mean, does... because I'm sure them being a better basketball conference would have attracted a pretty decent hire for them to go and recruit all those basketball players in Texas. But does Jamie coach on that sideline, given how things unfolded? I mean, would they have unfolded the same way? Because, I mean, could you imagine how awkward would that be for Pitt? Having a home game at the Pete and Jamie Dixon on the other bench coaching TCU against Pitt. I mean, could you imagine that? I mean, wouldn't that be something? We'll obviously never realize that. And I'm not sure if Pitt will ever schedule TCU or TCU would ever schedule Pitt. That's something to think about. But one thing I have to look up is Pitt still doing the Maggie Dixon Classic? Because if you all remember, that was a big thing that Jamie used to do for the memory of his sister. I wonder if he still does the Maggie Dixon. I'll have to look that up and see. Because I heard nothing about it as of lately. But man, that'd be something for him to go to his, you know, to a conference, quote unquote conference rival. I mean, would it be more, would he be more, would be he more hated at Pitt then, or would people still like him? Well, I guess we'll never know, but just some hypotheticals. But anyways, I'm done. I had fun. Enjoy your day, guys. Hail to Pitt.